Turn our Bibles, please, tonight to the New Testament and to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. I thank Mr. Greer for his kind words of welcome. Nice to be here. And we do trust that the Lord will bless us together as we gather ourselves around the Scriptures of truth. Ephesians chapter 1, and we are reading together from the beginning of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, reading together, please, from verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he have abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he have purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Amen. We'll end our reading there. We know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. It is verse 7 that I want to leave before you tonight, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer, and all the Lord's people, realizing in our own souls right now of our need of God and of our need of his power, let's all pray together. Let's seek him together in these moments. We're fully aware here as we stand on the threshold. There never has been a soul saved but by the Holy Ghost dealing with them. And therefore, let's pray that the Holy Ghost will descend in mighty power even into this auditorium, closes in, govern the meeting, control every aspect of it. Let's all pray to that end. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the church's only head, we come again to thy throne of grace and of mercy, upon the ground of redemption by the Saviour's blood. And how we thank thee for the blood of Christ. How we rejoice in the doctrines that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, that we're justified by the blood, that we're sanctified by the blood, that we're accepted in the beloved by the blood, that we've been forgiven for our sins by the blood, we overcome the devil by the blood. O Father, we thank thee for the doctrine of the blood atonement. We rejoice in it. It speaks peace to our conscience. It tells us our sins are all forgiven. We're on our way to heaven. And yet, O God, summon this meeting or not, we commit the meeting to thee. We ask that you close us in, purge its atmosphere in holy blood, bind the devil in every power of darkness. We're fully aware of demonic influence coming against the preacher and the hearer. Lord, let there be a paralyzing of the works of darkness tonight in this house. We stand into the victory of Christ's cross. We plead all the merit and value of the atonement. We plead the blood over the gathering. And I confess before God's holy throne my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and my sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. grant a holy baptism, grant that divine anointing. O God, I echo the words of one of old, I have need to be baptized of thee. Grant it, O God, we pray. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Grant it for the glory of thy great name. And grant it for the good of souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, the apostle, had been to the city of Ephesus. He saw great things done there for the Lord. It's all recorded for us in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 19. We don't have time to turn to there. I'm just going to tell you what happened. The preacher arrived. God poured out the Holy Ghost as that missionary of the cross began to preach there, began to reason in the synagogue, separated a people unto the gospel, saw multitudes converted, the blessing of heaven descended upon the ministry of the Apostle Paul in that city which is called Ephesus. With the blessing of heaven, however, will always come the anger of the devil. And soon there were great disturbances in the streets as the enemy stirred up trouble against what was doing. But the Lord worked on amidst the uproar. In chapter 20 of Acts, and again I'll just tell you about it, it tells us that the uproar did cease, but it was quite an uproar. Uproar stirred up by the powers of darkness as the gospel began to flourish, as homes began to be changed, because in those homes, sinner after sinner after sinner after sinner across the city of Ephesus were converted to faith in Jesus Christ. The word uproar rightly described, obviously, what happened. It meant tumult. It was a great uproar. But in spite of it all, in spite of all the devil attempted, in spite of it all, a great church of Christ was established in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was a city that was given over to sorcery, exorcisms, magic arts, licentious behavior, drunkenness, and the list could go on. The list could go on. Such was the city that the Apostle Paul entered to preach the gospel. Now here we have a letter that he wrote to that church. He left that city. He went on his missionary journey. And this epistle that we have read tonight is the letter that he wrote to them, to that people that he can never forget. He writes them this letter to the Ephesian believers. He writes it from his prison cell, and most commentators believe that that was when he was in prison in the city of Rome. He takes a pen and he writes this letter to them, to these Ephesian believers, these dear people, that he had seen one for Christ as he saw the gospel flourish among them. It was written to those that had been saved out of all the sins that I have mentioned here and many, many more. Paul, in verse 3 that we have read here in Ephesians 1, he rejoices in thanksgiving to God, reminding these believers that they were blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He reminds them in verse 4 that they had been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In verse 6 he tells them, it was all for the praise of the glory of God's grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now dear sinner, I want you to understand one point right now. Those words that I have just said, all for the praise of the glory of God's grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, they reveal to us tonight in this meeting that God's eternal purpose in Christ was to bestow his grace on sinners. Therefore, no sinner in this congregation need despair, would God save me if I came to him? No sinner need despair, is my sin too dark, is my past too black? Nobody needs to despair. Because what Paul reminded these Ephesians was this, that God's eternal purpose in Christ was to bestow his grace on sinners. That was his eternal purpose. That was why Christ came. Because, dear unsaved, I want you to understand those blessed words in the beloved. It speaks of in Christ, union with Christ. But let me say this across this congregation.
There's only two ways to live: in Christ or out of Him. And what's more, there's only two ways to die: in Christ or out of Him. If you're in Christ in this meeting, your sins are all forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. If you're out of Him, your sins your own. It's to your account. It's against your name. And you're not on your way to heaven. That brings me to my text. Verse 7. In whom, or in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I want to speak tonight, for the time that remains, on the forgiveness of sins, a display of God's grace. The forgiveness of sins, a display of God's grace. The first thing I want to show you about this text is this. Again, we must begin here, this subject of sin itself. The text says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is clearly seen here in verse 7. That's what it's speaking of. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, what about sin? What about sin? What is it? Many of you could quote to me right now what it is. It's a universal problem. It's a transgression of God's law. It's against the one who created the universe. Sin is what you do, which are sins of commission. Sin is what you don't do, which are sins of omission. You see, the moral law of God, dear people, expresses the nature and the will and the mind of God and His authority over us and to whom we are accountable. There are many words in the Bible that describe sin, many of them. Listen to them. Iniquity, rebellion, wickedness, departing from God's precepts, transgression, blasphemy, that's sin, hypocrisy, evil, devilish, dark, satanic, of the devil, abominable, lust, covetous, secret faults, presumptuous sins. And that's not exhaustive. But sinner, as I said at the outset, sin's universal. Those are just some terms that the Lord uses to describe your behavior and mine. And yet Paul is addressing a people here who now enjoyed the experience, yes, the life-changing experience of the forgiveness of their sins. You see, sin is not sin because it is punished. Sin is sin because it's forbidden. It's forbidden. God said, thou shalt not. Sin is disobeying. It's disobedience to the law. It was with you at conception. It was there at your birth. It was with you in life. It is with you right now. And dear unsaved in this meeting, if you never get to Christ, I want you to understand it'll be with you for all God's eternity. Now, I think you need to agree with me on this point. You need to deal with the subject of your sin. Sin has caused hell to be necessary. Sin breaks homes, hearts of the people of this town. Were it not for sin, death would never have had a beginning. Understand that. It's dark, it's devilish, it's all the world over where you have people, you have sin. You may go out in this world and you may find a man with no food. You may find a man with no home. You may find a woman with no money. You may find a people wrecked with health and bad health, but you will never find a soul with no sin this side of God's eternity. Sin. And sinner friend, in this meeting, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. You need the forgiveness of those sins. You need the forgiveness of them. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's universal. It's universal. It's also personal. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul applies it to himself, but it shows so clearly the personal nature of sin. It was Paul's sin, and it was their sin. But sinner, what the Lord's showing you tonight is this. Your sin is your sin. My sin's mine. Your sin is yours. It was these Ephesian believers' sin. It was all their sin, but it had all been forgiven. Their idolatry. Their idolatry of the worship of Diana. Their witchcraft. Their sorcery. If you would turn to Acts, don't turn to it, but if you did, Acts 20, you would see a little glimpse of what sort of city this was. The preacher arrives. He preaches. God moves. Multitudes are saved. And in Acts 20 verse 19 it tells us, they all gather their books together. What were the books? Sorcery. Black magic. Curious arts. Witchcraft. That's what the books were. And there was this public burning of them. And there's repentance. We're not going back to this. There was the grip the devil had on Ephesus. It was given over to it. The Bible tells us the amount of books that were burned were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. There was the grip the devil had on that city. But sinner, you say, preacher, that doesn't apply to me. That may be true, but nonetheless, what a grip he has on your life. Young and old, still without Christ, still without an anchor for the soul. I want you to understand that you've got to see tonight how God sees you in your sin, in your rebellion, sin against God, sin against light, sin against gospel truth, sin against the gospel you hear week by week. A lifetime of it. A lifetime of it. And yet the text says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Sinner, they were forgiven. It was their sin. But tonight, as you sit in this meeting, it's your sin. And it needs to be forgiven. It needs to be forgiven. It was personal, and it is personal. Each one of us are morally responsible and accountable to God. It begins in our heart. It's seen in our lives. It's seen in our conduct. And sinner, it's your sin. And there's a day of accountability coming for that sin. I wish I could get that through to your heart. The day of judgment hastens on when each man gives account for his or her sins. How do you feel about it? I remember one night I come home. Sadly drunk. And on my pillow, I have a fair idea who set it there. There was a gospel tract. God's Judgment Day. And I got under my bed, drunk. And I left at the tract, drunk. And I began to read about accountability, drunk. And I am telling you now, I trembled. I trembled at the thought that this all ends before God. Sinner, that's where it ends. It's universal sin. But sin is personal, and sin is yours. And sin was theirs. But they were forgiven for all their sins. But some of you sit in this meeting, and that cannot be said of you, because God has not forgiven you for what you've done. Not one of them.
Remember what I said. It was your sin at conception. You were born in it. It was yours at birth. It's been yours to this moment in your life. And not one of them has been forgiven. Not one of them. Not one of them.
Nobody wants to be reminded about their sin. Well, the day of judgment will remind you about your sin because you've forgotten half them. But God hasn't forgotten any of them. They're all there. They're all there in the books of God. It's universal. It's personal. It's yours. It's yours. Let me repeat that. It is yours. It was your fault. It was committed. And you're to blame for it in the eyes of the Almighty. You're to blame. When you deal with sin, you deal with a most serious matter. It was also watched. What do you mean by that? David said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. It was watched. Some of you, God has been watching for 10 years. 10 years of rebellion against the Almighty. And you're still young, but it's 10 years of rebellion nonetheless. Some of you, God has been watching us 20 years. Hour by hour going up as a stench. Some of you, God has been watching for 30 years. Some of you, God has been watching for 40 years. 50. 60. 70. Some maybe even heading on for 80 years. All in full view of the Almighty. Well, let me say from this pulpit, there will come a day God will watch it no more. God will watch it no more. Against thee, David said, have I done this evil in thy sight. 3 short points from that text. He did it. God says it was evil. God watched him do it. Nobody else on earth saw him do it, because if they had, he was wasting his time trying to cover up. But he knew nobody else saw it on earth. But God in heaven saw it. Genesis 6, God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, and he said to Noah, I'm watching it no longer. Genesis 19, I will now come down and see the Sodomites, because God was watching it no longer. Sinner, friend, in this meeting, before God's eternal throne, you know how long God has put up with it. You know how often he's watched you come and go from the house of the holy. You know how often, you know how long it's went on. But you've done this evil in his sight. David said the thing that he did displeased the Lord. There's what God thinks of sin. Displeasure. Holy. Just. Displeasure. Let me tell you something. I looked up that word. The same word is used of a man in Genesis 38 called Onan. And it says what Onan did displeased the Lord, and the Lord killed him. That's what it says. God's displeasure. Always by sin. Who wiped them off the face of the earth in Noah's day? My friend, who did it? God did it. Who wiped two cities off the plain in Genesis 19 because he was watching it no more? God did it. They everyone died without the forgiveness of their sin. And I'm telling you now, they're still not forgiven for it. And as Christ died on the cross, there wasn't one drop of blood shed for them, and I say that reverently. They're not forgiven, they weren't forgiven, and they won't ever be forgiven. Forgiveness of sin. Sin also involves pollution and guilt. Pollution, it's filthy, it's completely unholy. Guilt, it's the wrong committed. Dear man, woman in this meeting, young person, without Christ, you're guilty. You can put the age frame in, I don't know it, but you know it. You know how long it's been going on. You know how long God has watched. I'm telling you, in love to your soul, there always comes a time God watches it no longer. He watches it no longer. Let me ask you something about it. Let me ask you something about it. You want your sin. Preacher, I want my sin. I do not want Christ. I'm only here because my mom and dad brought me. Well, then defend it. You want it. What good has it done you? I'm not asking you, did it make you happy for a minute or two? Did it give you peace? Does it speak ease to your conscience? Does it speak peace to your soul that all is well? Does it help you sleep with the thought that you might not waken, and if you don't waken, it's still your sin? I said this before and I will say this again. And everybody listen. Many a man and woman across this world tonight, on Sunday the 23rd of November 2014, will lie themselves down in a bed to get some rest to begin work on the Monday morning. And I am telling you now, right now, that many of them across this world will waken in another world because they will never see the dawn of another day. That's just a simple fact. I tell you, that is a solemn, serious thing. A man that lies down, a young person that lies down for a night's rest and wakens in eternity. And if that doesn't send a chill down your spine, you wake in another world. Tell me, what good has it done you? You want that you tell me what good it does you. View it in light of eternity. View it in light of the judgment. You view it in light of that. You ask Lot's wife in the page of Scripture, what good did that little glimpse back do you, Lot's wife? I tell you, it landed her in the belly of hell. Goliath, what good now did your camp do you when you pitched it in Soko and you defied the God of Israel? Because I am telling you now, folks, when that stone hit Goliath's head, it drove the soul of that giant into God's hell. There is the soul of a giant tonight belching in hell. The soul of a giant who dared to defy the God of Israel and the Israel of God, and God drove him to hell. Because when that stone hit that giant, that stone was directed by God Almighty. You want your sin, what good does it do you? You tell me. You judge it properly. You judge it in the final analysis. That's how you judge it. Don't give me the party scene. It doesn't last, and you know it, and I know it. It's sin. It's rebellion. Here we are before God. We're looking at a text of people who received the forgiveness of sin. And some of you to this moment in your life haven't been forgiven one of them. I tell you, it's awful. It is awful. It is awful beyond words to describe. Some people sit here before God, in the presence of God, and to this moment in your life, you've never sought him for the forgiveness of one of your sins. Not one of them. The sin. The Savior. Secondly. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Sinner, listen to me. There is a Savior in Christ. There's redemption. The word redemption, it presupposes slavery, bondage. But Paul goes on to show them how they were redeemed, how these souls were saved out of their darkness, out of their wickedness. It was by virtue of the blood of Christ. It was by virtue of his cross. Sinner, listen to me. When Paul's writing to them, he's reminding them of what they were in sin. Chapter 2, he tells them there was a time in their life they were under the control of the devil. But then God, who's rich in mercy,
for his great love wherewith he loved them. Sinner, understand this tonight. In your sin, you're before the God that loves sinners and sent his Son to die for sinners, that you might receive the forgiveness of all your sins. Now look at me in the face and say, preacher, that doesn't sound too just admit it. You know in the depth of your soul that's exactly what you need. The forgiveness of all your sins, because moment by moment you get nearer to meeting God without them forgiven. But Paul says, in whom? In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Where did he take them to? He took them to Calvary. There's where he took them. Sinner, yes, God loves sinners. But God doesn't forgive sinners because he loves them. He forgives them because of Calvary. He forgives them on the basis of the atonement. He forgives them on the basis of the blood shedding of Jesus Christ. As we have read, in Christ, we have redemption, deliverance through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. What a statement. You see, Paul was ever a preacher. He was ever a preacher who dealt with the great doctrine of forgiveness of sins. I tell you, you've heard me long enough. You've heard me enough. You know, in my opinion, it's one of the most blessed words I ever heard. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You think of that dear woman in Luke 7. Notorious. Christ goes into the Pharisee's home. And that dear broken sinner finds herself weeping at the feet of the Savior. And Jesus says, her sins, which were many, are forgiven. Forgiven. Or the young man in Mark 2. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Is there a young man, a young woman in this meeting tonight, an older man, an older woman, and you say, yes, preacher, this must be mine tonight. I can't go on. It has to be now. Son, thy sins are forgiven. It will be now if you come to Christ. A woman in this meeting, yes, it has to be tonight. I tell you, it will be tonight if you come to Christ. Her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. What a blessed portion. Is there one across this gathering, and you have put your years on earth before God tonight, and you know it, and you know how long God has watched it, and you're saying, yes, preacher, I'm doing it tonight. I need my sins forgiven tonight. You better believe it. You better believe it, you do. You need them forgiven before I even pronounce the benediction, because you might not be alive when I pronounce the benediction. Therefore, you'd be better right now just say, God, have mercy on me. Because you need mercy. But there is mercy. Because in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. You know what Spurgeon said? I read him in a quote the other day. When I knew what I was preaching on, I opened a wee book I have. And I opened a book on forgiveness of sins and what men said about it. Spurgeon said this. In half the tick of a clock, sinner, all your sins can be forgiven. And you can pass from death unto life more swiftly than I can even say it. Sinner, it's yours tonight in Christ. If ever a group of believers, the Ephesians, showed that it doesn't matter how dark and how black the sin, I tell you, they would say, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed me from all my black, dark sorcery. Wonderful moment. I tell you, I would have loved to have been there. I was there in May. I went into that city. And I took my Bible. I'd love to have seen that bonfire. Book after book after book after book. After book, because they had received the forgiveness of all their sins. Sinner, I tell you, it's their song throughout the countless ages. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all our sins. Sinner, there's a Savior right now if you come to him. Sin's universal. It's personal. It has been watched. Your little moment on earth has been played out before the Almighty. And I'm telling you, there's only one way you're getting into heaven. The forgiveness of sins that's found in Christ. You're not getting in because you're sitting in the free church. I was talking to a Roman Catholic man the other day. He says, what's all this saved thing about? So I told him. He says, Tom, when you get into heaven, trail me in. And he wasn't joking. He says, trail me in, get me in. I said, Jerry, if I could trail you in, I would trail you in. I'm telling you, sinner, across this congregation, if the minister and session and the believers in this church could trail you into glory, would trail you into it. But I says to Jerry, listen, Jerry, I want you to understand this, Jerry. The free church didn't change me, and your church isn't changing you, and the free church isn't taking me to heaven. Jesus Christ is taking me to heaven. And Jerry, you need Christ. Sinner, in this meeting, thank you for coming. But listen to me loud and clear. If we could trail you into the glory and forgive the phrase, but we would. But we can't. Heaven is by Christ, by his blood. Because by that blood men receive the forgiveness of all their sins. The sin in the text, the Savior in the text, the glorious spectacle in the text. I close. According to the riches of his grace, forgiveness of sins by the cross of our Lord is the glory of the riches of God's grace. Sinner, I am telling you now,
the forgiveness of sins is a life-changing moment. It's according to the riches of God's grace. And I'm telling you, there are riches in God's grace this world knows nothing of. Forgiveness. What can this world give that compares to God saying to you tonight, son, your sins are forgiven? Young woman, older woman, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Tell me what the world can give that compares to that. I think the doctrine's so dear to me because it was the first thing that dawned on my soul the night I got saved. That road out there. 28th of September 1998, I drove down it. Around 9:45. I couldn't have explained justification. I couldn't have explained sanctification. I couldn't have explained regeneration. But I knew in my soul 10 minutes earlier, God forgave all my sins. And that's all I needed to know. And I was the happiest man in this country. Forgiven! And it went through my soul like a tornado. The witness of the Holy Ghost, Tom, your sins are all forgiven. Man, woman, it's yours tonight in Christ. It's the glorious spectacle of this text. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And I am telling you now, this world has no riches like that. None. Now the question is this. Since it was God's eternal purpose in Christ to bestow grace upon sinners, since the forgiveness of sins is only to be found in Christ and by His blood, sinner, I'm asking you now to step out of your sin and get into the arms of Jesus Christ and His love and His mercy and His pardoning grace, and I'm asking you to do it now. Right now, on the authority of that book, let me say this, and I always say it, and I'm always going to say it. Every thought in your mind right now that tells you not to come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins is the whispering in your ear of Lucifer. Full stop. Lucifer says, put it off. God says, come now. Angels watch on. And I tell you, devils watch on. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I say it again. Every thought in your mind right now that says not now is Lucifer. The purpose of the thought is to damn ye. That's His purpose. Christ says, come now. Lucifer says, don't come now. Go home and think about it. Sure, put it off. You need to be sure. Don't rush into these things. It's all the lie of the devil because he knows there's none of us guaranteed home. see, the battle rages for the soul. God has been merciful to many in this meeting. Many years he's given you. Many years he's given you. And still you're unforgiven. Are you going to come tonight? By now you'll be sensing the thoughts in the mind. By now, because of what I have said, you have discerned who's speaking. What voice will you obey? Because you're going to obey one of the two of them. God Almighty says, come. The damned fiends of hell, and they are damned. There's no way back for them. There's no mercy for them. They say, don't come. Man, woman, wake up. Young person, wake up. It's the battle for your soul. It's the battle for your soul. Christ says, come unto me. My blood will wash you clean. My righteousness will cover your guilt. You won't be able to hear it, but angels will rejoice in heaven when you come. The devil says, don't. Man, listen. Woman, listen. Friend, listen. Don't listen to the lie any longer. Come to Christ. Receive the forgiveness of all your sins. Because the blood of Christ so remits sin as if it had never even been committed. What a doctrine. What a Christ. What a Savior. Is there one going to do it? I'm not losing my soul. I'm coming to Christ. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And while every head is bowed, and let's just remain still for a moment, and the Lord's people are praying, oh, sinner friend, listen to me. Christ will save you tonight. He'll keep you till the river rolls its water at your feet. And he'll bear you safely over into heaven. But sinner, you must come to him. Don't put it off. You know where the minister's room is. Go down there. Or speak to me at the door, or Mr. Greer. Or lift your heart right now and say, God of mercy, I want my sins forgiven tonight. You have the promise of God. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Dear lady, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Dear man, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Father, take thy holy word, We thank thee for the blood of Christ. We thank thee for the washing that's in it, its cleansing power to wash away sin. O God, apply the blood. Bind the devil in these closing moments. Give deciding grace. Bring souls right through for God. Bring them into that everlasting union with Christ. And then at death, gather them into the celestial city, whose builder and maker is God. And until then, may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be with all whose sins are washed away in Jesus' blood tonight and forevermore. Amen.